Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Give me some juice, baby. Oh, yeah. Good to be with you on a Wednesday.
You don't have to do your impressions this early, Sean. You're doing impressions of the intro. All right.
Let's go.
We got serious business to get down to
Chiefs,
here, okay?
You're right.
Thanks. None of this funny stuff, okay?
That's not how we're going to get to be the best in the world, that's for sure. Thanks for setting me straight. We are one day closer. We're 72 hours away, man, from the
Texans. Yeah, thank God.
Texans,
that's right.
You
know, yesterday it was a nice surprise seeing a CJ Stroud press conference come into my inbox because it's a Saturday game again.
Yeah.
And everything gets it's weird because the work week for us doesn't really change at all. Yet we get these little morsels earlier in the week. We get the normal Wednesday press conference on a Tuesday. Today you're going to get a little bit of Bobby Slowick action in your life.
Yeah. Some hot Slowick action, yes.
Matt Burke, who is an underrated press conference watch. He's a lot of fun.
We don't play enough Matt Burke on the show, I don't think. He's pretty good.
He's really good. I think the problem is that it's D'Amico's defense.
Yeah.
So Matt Burke's the defensive coordinator, but I think when a lot of the discussion around the defense comes back to D'Amico Ryans, I need to do a better job of that. A lot of times I'll see some really good Matt Burke stuff, and then I forget that, like, oh yes, this would be good for the radio show that I do every single day.
Yeah. And we get some Frank Ross too. Boy, Frank Ross was fired up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He was. Did you?
Well, with good reason.
With good reason. No, but he running alongside D'Angelo Ross on the 2-point return, and then he was all jacked up when D'Angelo Ross came in and got a piece of the ball on that punt. Did you see any of the D'Amico mic'd up stuff from this week?
No, I did. I had only just a couple of clips of him running on the sidelines.
The full video is out. I watched it last night. Uh-huh. The full video. Boy, like I watched it. I made the mistake of watching it before I went to bed. Like I watched it at like 9:30, and I'm like, I watched that, and I'm like, now I'm up till 10:30.
He got all amped up.
Yes. Yeah, man, and the only thing I don't like about the mic'd up stuff, and I understand it, is you don't see a lot of the strategic stuff that D'Amico does. I feel like it probably, if you don't know anything about D'Amico Ryans and you just watch that 9-minute video, you're probably like, oh, all right, well, he's just this guy that goes around and says, yeah, way to go, baby,
he's a rah-rah
way to go,
guy.
Boy, yeah, and you know that there's a whole lot more to that just from talking, and I know the Christian Harris one from last year on the pick and stuff like that.
Well, no, for those of people that don't know, there was one last year in the playoffs where D'Amico's on the sideline with Christian Harris basically explaining to him how he was going to get a pick six.
Right.
And it was awesome. It was everything that you know that D'Amico's been able to do with linebackers and how much better guys like Henry Toa have gotten just over the course of 1 year. And, yeah, that part of D'Amico, the actual football coaching side of D'Amico, the defensive player side of coaching, the other thing that's really paid dividends is his ability to bring in these kind of either blue-collar or journeyman type of defensive tackles and get absolute most out of them to the point where 100% this year and on into the future, Houston's going to be a destination for guys who are like, man, All right, this is not the attention that I feel I should be getting in free agency. I'm going to go to Houston, play for a year, and then just like Sheldon Rankins. And a couple other guys, like go off and get a better contract somewhere else if I don't re-sign in Houston.
If I don't know what I haven't checked the contractual situations of these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, to see if it was just a 1-year deal. But if it were, like Tim Settle's going to get more money next year somewhere else, yeah, or here, maybe. You know, if they want to keep him here, he's going to get a raise. Mario Edwards, if he's on a 1-year deal, he's going to get a raise from somebody. Like, those guys have had excellent seasons. You know, the suspension that Mario got notwithstanding, when he's been on the field, he's been excellent this year. And Rankins is a good example, too.
Well, and the defensive tackles did a really good job of adjusting in the game last week, where in the first – the thing that's really vexed the Texans defensively over the last few weeks has been teams are taking advantage of how aggressive the defensive front is. So these traps and whams where they bait a defensive tackle to run upfield and then they just blindside them. They figured out how to play that, when to be a little bit more conservative. They changed their alignments a little bit, and that was a big difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If they hadn't made that adjustment in the Chargers game, the Chargers would have just kept running right down their throats.
Yep.
So on the actual strategy side of things, that was a huge part of the game last week.
Yeah, no doubt. I just feel like anything – I've been saying this since DeMeco got here – like anything in the front seven, linebackers or defensive linemen, you're going to get – you're going to get the best version of those guys plus 20% when you bring them in here. Like, it's you're right. It's been really cool to see. My favorite part of the mic'd up was after one of the turnovers, and apparently Aziz got them into like the perfect defense for whatever play the Chargers had called. And Aziz comes over to the sideline. DeMeco hugs him. He goes, "You're gonna make a hell of a defensive coordinator someday."
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. I definitely will go back and watch that part of it then.
Yeah.
Because we can go break down the play before that.
Yeah.
No. And I think that's where too. I think the Texans have had just in that 12-day stretch where they had the three games and it did not go so well the second and third game. I've been hesitant to point to the absence of Aziz Alshire as being a huge factor in all of that because it almost feels like excuse making, but it is real. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden just Aziz being on the field would have, you know, helped you beat the Ravens or anything, but it would have made a big difference in how bad it was, especially given the nature of the things the Ravens were doing. Having a guy like Aziz directing traffic, alerting guys pre-snap, all that stuff, it makes a big difference. So it's not, I don't know if it's the X factor that changes your fates versus the Chiefs, but it's a big difference.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Chiefs, because the Ravens game, I don't think Jesus Christ himself, on his birthday albeit, would have shown up and helped you win that game. Like, you lost 31-2. But he missed the Chiefs game too, like you just said. That Chiefs game was a one-score game. That was a close game. That was a game you had the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to tie. And that is something that, like, on the margins, Aziz Alshire maybe is the difference in that game.
Right.
You know, having Aziz for a team that loves to work the middle of the field, the Kansas City Chiefs, having Aziz Alshire in there, a guy that coaches say, like, man, you got to keep an eye on zero, and quarterbacks say that too. That is something, you know, if we got to worry about the Ravens, that's a great problem to have. It means you beat the Chiefs, man. But in that Chiefs game, like, Aziz, I think there's excuses and there's reasons, and I think Aziz is way more a reason than he is an excuse, particularly for the Chiefs game.
Right. Yeah, the Chiefs ran for 124 yards that game. Yep. It wasn't like they just destroyed the Texans on the ground, but it was a big factor in the game. You know, Kareem Hunt had that. What, he had like a 20-yarder?
Mahomes scored on a scramble that just like that. Look, the Texans looked asleep. You know?
Yeah,
like 20-yard scramble.
Mahomes' rushing ability. That's one thing, man. Yesterday, CJ said something where he was asked about his running in the Chargers game, and he had talked about how he basically specifically said, you know, I want to be an elite passer, and I blame my generation for giving CJ and others his age good advice about, hey, listen, man, don't let them pigeonhole you into being all the code words for an athletic quarterback or anything like that, which is true. Yes, don't let them pigeonhole you into, you know, thinking that you're just a running quarterback. But A, nobody's going to accuse CJ of being an athletic quarterback. B, no. The modern NFL, running is a part of playing the quarterback position. Pat Mahomes is not an incredible athlete, but he runs very, very effectively. And nobody's accusing him of not being a pure passer. So he's got to get comfortable and more comfortable just taking those easy yards when they're there for the taking. And Pat Mahomes is the perfect example of a guy that does all that.
It was interesting, you know, and we'll play this audio a little later in the show, but as long as you're bringing it up. I thought it was cool yesterday seeing him talk about how on the interception he went back and looked at the iPad or whatever the Microsoft version of it is, and he saw that they weren't even accounting for him, you know, on defense, and that was in his mind when he went and got the 27-yard scramble. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, he also pointed out that he is young and he's still learning these things. That is right. He's 23 years old and he's in his second year. And some of these things just take reps. It takes reps and time.
Yeah, like his level of play his first 2 years has kind of made us forget that. Do you have a favorite Diontae Johnson memory from his time as a Houston Texan? Over now. He was waived yesterday.
My favorite memories are every single time I named him as an X factor in the upcoming
game. You went deep on him before one of the games. I can't remember which. I think it was before the Charger game.
And this week he'll again be an X factor. And that I don't know what they'll do without the absence of the mythical X factor
right
that he
through
was.
Through his face on the media
guy. Yes. Yeah. Diontae Johnson released yesterday.
Yeah.
Which makes it so now he's been booted out of four teams in 1 year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a little over a calendar year. Yeah.
One calendar year, a little over a calendar year.
Yeah. No, you're right. It might be under a calendar year because he was, it's been within a year he's been booted. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. This won't take long. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the end of the Diontae Johnson era.
Yeah, with Diontae, unfortunately, it didn't work out, and we're on to the Chiefs.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
Out.
Yep.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The reports were, for those who don't know, the report, because I think there's probably people who hadn't heard this report yet are like, wow, I thought he was supposed to be like this, like tank, a poor man's tank here. He was sulking in the locker room after the win over the Chargers because of playing time.
No, you...
multiple reports from people who were, from reporters who were in the locker room and noticed Joe Mixon and Azeez Alshire having to go over and say like, hey, bruh. We just won a playoff game.
You know what he needs? He needs to read the book that A.J. Brown was reading on the sideline.
You're reading it right now, right?
Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy. Jim Murphy's this He's kind of like a sports psychologist, guru, mental performance training type guy, which I, every single time I read one of these books, I start off like, whatever, this is all going to be the same old crap. But you know what? The same old crap, it's the same old crap because a lot of it is true. Mm-hmm. But I'm enjoying it so far. The big thing about this book so far, from what I've gleaned, is it is a whole lot about not being so wrapped up in yourself, about kind of focusing your energy outward, like almost in a positive way, even towards your opponent, but also remembering that the like enjoying the moment and being absorbed in the moment and not being worried about accolades and all those other things, including just what the story in your head is about what you need to do. Like, and I think it's very fitting for wide receivers.
Yeah.
Because for wide receivers, so much of it is about, like, all right, man, you can do everything the right way, but the ball might not come your way that day.
Yeah.
You got to just get in the moment and just excel at your job, running the routes, all those things, and don't get caught up in all of the other stuff. And I can see why A.J. Brown is reading it, because I know everybody's thinking, like, wasn't there drama between him?
It was 2 months ago.
I'm guessing somebody gave him the book a couple months ago.
Well, it's good that A.J.'s reading it. He's underlining it and highlighting it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to Brooks Cabino, the beat writer up there, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, and he tried to dig in and find out. He asked A.J. Brown what the underlined pieces were, and he said he wouldn't tell him. Not going to give away the secrets.
Yeah. It's a good recommendation by you. I'm no therapist. I think Deontay Johnson is far more than just one book reading away from being.
Yeah, but that's how it all starts.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. It's a good recommendation. I just think there's a lot of bricks in that wall that need to be put back in.
There is a lot. I know, but sometimes it just dawns on people all of a sudden, like, holy crap, yeah, I'm my own worst enemy. Yep. I gotta get out of my head here a little bit.
Yeah, maybe the fifth or sixth team he'll wake up and figure that out. It's crazy.
Maybe he's never read Inner Excellence.
That's what I said. It's a good recommendation.
Brooks said he felt really bad for whoever's self-help book was next to Inner Excellence on the bookshelf at the bookstore.
Oh, because in Philly.
Because Inner Excellence is probably just rocketed up.
For sure, for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we're off and running on a Wednesday. We'll keep digging deep into the playoff matchup coming up.